Okay. Okay. Thank you for the invitation to the workshop. I'm sure it's going to be a very nice workshop. As a contribution to, small contribution to the field of string phenomenology, I'm going to tell you today about a series of work on trying to build realistic flex packet. And here by realistic, what I mean is something that has a something which is chiral, it has a chiral matter counter close to the standard model. So you just have heard a very nice talk on how you can do model building engineering in the atrotic string in order to get something really close to the standard model spectrum. But of course, eventually we are really, we really want to get some everything, right, from low energy physics, from observed physics. So we are really adventurous. We don't only want to get the standard model spectrum, but also all the standard model parameters that we observe, and even the ones that we don't observe. We want to get the Yukawa couplings, gauge coupling constants, and eventually, if we have a supersymmetric theory broken to n equals to zero, we want to get all the soft parameters that would be compatible with experiment. So what I'm going to tell you today is some piece of work based on flux quantification, which may help us achieving this task. Basically, the plan of the talk is the following. I'm going to first motivate the model building in flux quantification. Why is it useful? Why might be interesting for string phenomenology? Second, I'm going to talk a little bit about the model building. Not too much, because last week, Gary Hsu gave a more formal talk on this subject. And finally, I will try to stress the phenomenology features that we can get in this kind of models. Okay. So first, the motivation is, why are we interested in flux quantification? Well, first is a more general than the standard Calabi-Yau quantification, so in principle, we should consider it. But second, and more importantly, we find that the standard Calabi-Yau quantification have two big problems that we've been putting up with for a very long time. The first one is the problem of moduli stabilization. We have plenty of moduli, and we don't want those guys to be there. Second, we want to have a very nice way to break supersymmetry, because we know that whenever we break supersymmetry in string theory, things got really messy. And it turns out that flux quantification may give us a hint on how these two problems can be solved at once. So why is that the case? Well, it has been seen in the literature that many moduli, if not all of them, can be lived by considering a flux quantification. And second, supersymmetry can be broken in a controlled way. And by controlled way, I mean that we are doing a string computation in terms of that V-brain action. So we have a gauge sector. And this gauge sector, we have some SUSY breaking in soft terms induced by means of embedding them in a flux quantification. So, oh, this is really high. So, well, the beginning of everything in this particular subject that I'm talking about was, in a sense, in the atrotic string, as you know. But then we have realized that in type 2B fluxes, we can really do a lot of work and understand a lot of things. We mean of introducing Raman-Raman and NSNS fluxes in our background. I'm sorry. Okay, so which observation can we make which are totally general and very helpful for string phenomenology? Now, can you hear me at all, or? Yeah, you can, right? So first, when we introduce fluxes, we generate a superpotential that frees compensation moduli and dilaton right away. And second, when we have V-brains on this kind of flux quantification, we generate a series of soft terms in network volume. So if we consider both things, we will have a theory with both moduli stabilization and soft terms come from the same source. And in addition, we have these two very interesting features. First, that we can embed the standard modeling scenario by means of workflows in a Calabi-Yau quantification with fluxes. And Second, that we may conceive constructing the city vacuum in this kind of framework. So all these things and a lot more just motivate us to try to get something, a nice flex quantification model, in particular something nice from the point of view of particle physics, in order to get chirality and the good gauge for good quantum numbers. So so basically, the idea is, well, why don't we try to get the bird's story in less talk with the whole framework of flex quantification. So far, what we have is that even if we have D-brains in our type 2B flex quantification models, the compactification that we get are non-chiral, right? So why is that? Because they are very simple D-brains that are parallel to each other, where we may break things to n equals to 1, but they will be just deformation from n equals to 4, things like that. And we will never get chiral fermions. So the basic idea, and what is this talk is based on, is trying to implement the mechanism that we know for building parallel vacuums in type 2B, or if you wish, it would be in any string, flex string compactification, because type 2B is nothing special. And try to embed the mechanism that we know to gain chirality in a flux quantification. So we have the way we have from flux quantification, all the results, and then we know that in string theory we can get chirality by a series of means. So just try to make both things compatible. Okay, so since I'm focusing on type 2B here in this talk, the two different ways of getting chirality, or at least two ways that we know. These two main ways are, first, consider deep brains as singularities, just like orbital singularities make conical singularities. And embedding this kind of constructions, lots of constructions, into a flex quantification was first attempt by this series of people. So this is, you will have here in this tip of the singularity, and you will have your standard model there, and you can achieve the gauge group and chiral content, but the usual roots of D-brains and singularities, right? And then you embed it in the flux, with it raises poor throat, et cetera, et cetera. So this is something very appealing, and it's also very close to the KKLT proposal from William Bissett back. So which are the nice features of this approach? I won't be talking too much, because at the end of the workshop, Juan will be giving a talk with more detailed explanation. So you may wait until then to see more specific features. But let me just talk about, mention the more generic results that we have here. So one of the nicest features, as I said, you can embed it in a workflow quantification. You have a work job geometry, and locally you can embed them. And then it will be very close to the KKLT proposal. We also have a good understanding of the holographic gauge to all of these theories here and the different singularity, which I hope Juan will talk about later. And we also have a very simple Sefton pattern that came here when you break through the symmetry. Actually, is, to be honest, too simple. And basically, if you want to have any non-vanishing Sefton, you have to introduce anything as that in your contraction. So that also motivates us to look for the second way of getting chirality, which is talking about magnetized D-brains. By magnetized D-brains, I mean D-brains with non-trivial gauge bundles here in this internal wall volume. And this is another way, just licking the traffic, to get chirality. Okay, so we can conceive magnetized D-brains in type 2B as well. And as Gary showed you, and I tried to comment here in this talk, this is by this kind of contraction we were able to get the first supersymmetric chiral vacuum in this context. So, but not only that, it's also very interesting for phenomenology that we can conceive having non-supersymmetric vacuum, but which are nevertheless Minkowski and have a 10-dimensional supergravity description. Namely, they don't have any NSNS tuples at the supergravity level. Not only that, but this general class of constructions, they have very interesting soft-on pattern, and you don't have to have NSN staples in order to break supersymmetry in the gauge sector, in the D-brain sector. You may have no NSN staples and then induce soft-ons there. So this is really appealing because we can solve Eisen equations without, with Minkowski vacuum, without having to deal with NSN staples. Okay, so I'm going to focus on magnetizing brains. I'm leaving brains and singularity for fun. So what the hell are magnetizing brains? So I'm considered D2M plus 3D brains. They are just filling Minkowski and wrapping a two-end cycle in the compact dimensions. And then I turn on a non-trivial gauge bundle in the internal coordinates so I don't break Lorentz invariants. And this, naturally, generalized chirality, just as has been observed in a series of people for a long time ago. And not only that, thus, when we do mirror symmetry or T-duality, we recover the picture of type 2A intersecting these brains, which has been a focus of intense model building in the past few years, so we can get all that we know from intersecting the brains in order to build models. Right? So it just makes our life easier. So let me show you this example that you may have seen in Gary's talk as well. How do we get chirality here in this context? Well, if I just used to have three sets of different brains point like in different complex dimensions, I would get a non-chiral theory with USP and groups, the same type one, if you wish. And this would be the matter context, non-chiral, because the gauge group is not real to begin with. But if I introduce this discrete information, which is a non-trivial gauge bundle, then I would create chirality right away. Okay, so, well, this is just a very simple example of how you can chirality by means of magnetizing brains. And this kind of thing is what we're trying to implement in the realm of flux amplification. Moreover, if you look at this very simple example, you see here UN, USP2, USP2N. If we choose N1, N2, N3, in a specific way, we can get something which is semi-realistic, which is a Patti-Salam extension of the standard model with G generations. Generations depend on this topological quantity, which is the instanton number of this complex manifold. So this is a new set of data, which are the gauge bundle vector bundle in the deep brains. So, good. So we just have a very simple example. We can conceive having this kind of semi-realistic spectrum. We can, if we want to go more realistic, we want to try to test some things. How close can we get to the standard model? We can do extra things, like, for instance, an adjoint Higgsons that will get to left-right extension of the standard model. So we break it from Patti-Salam to left-right, like the usual adjoint Higgsons. And one of the very nice features of this fraction is that we have a minimal set of Higgs content. You see in this we only have this very minimal. We don't have anti-families or whatever. We just have G families of the standard model generation of the standard model-like spectrum, and then only one set of Higgses. And this very minimal spectrum encourages to try to embed this simple configuration in a more fully fledged quantification with fluxes as well. Try to see how fluxes will affect these guys and regenerate soft terms in them. Okay. So what I'm gonna try to describe now briefly is how you can embed this in a flux quantification. And in order to do this, of course, we're going to be simple at first and try the simplest oriented fold background that we can think of. As you know, in the type 2D story, we'd need oriented folds to get something supersymmetric or tackles of fold. So the simplest oriented fold we're thinking about is the, if you wish, the T-dual of the Berkus-Lee model, which was one of the first D equals to 4 D-brain examples. In this background, we can think of introducing this constant flux, imaginary soft-dual fluxes, since we want to get no NSN staples. And there's just four components, and one of them is the famous 0.3 A to B that would break supersymmetry, but otherwise the game would not generate any unknown stuff. Not only that, we have to introduce vibrance in a consistent way, and then fluxes. We have to be careful about the consistency condition of this quantification. We have the usual Ramon-Ramon tuples, which amount to chiral anomalies in the low energy spectrum, and we have to be sure, ensure that they are not there. But as well, we have to, in order to make a consistent theory, we have to be careful that the K-theory torsion charges in our models are vanishing. Otherwise, we're doing whatever. OK, so the story of embedding the whole thing in our interval background was told by Gary last week. One of the lessons that we learned is that we can do it, but we require introduce new objects besides the D-swim brains, or maybe the D-swim brains usually from A to B, but the D9 and D9 pairs with magnetic fluxes. Otherwise, we cannot get something supersymmetric in this context. OK, let me just show you a cartoon. I'm not going into the details. At the beginning, we have our nice local model of made of three stacks of these membranes. We want to introduce the flux to see how they induce soft terms in the volume in this theory. And then we find that we need to, in particular in the C2 plus C2 background that we are considering, we need to introduce the 9 and 39s. And this will introduce extra U1s and extra chiral matter, as this line represents. In addition, since we want to cancel tadpoles, we may also need to introduce these three brains, which would nevertheless never communicate with these guys. And after a deformation I'm going to make, they will not communicate with anyone else, so it can be seen as a hidden sector. OK, so of course, I'm going to talk about very few models here, so this is not a landscape talk at all. But I want to make a comment, which is that the techniques used in order to build this vacuum are not that particular to what I'm telling you, the C2 plus C2 background, but in contrast, this group in Amsterdam have managed to using the kind of same techniques, lots of plethora, lots of millions of models, Gebner models with this spectrum. And it just is the same idea. Have the same D-brain content, have the same either intersection number or gauge bundles, and just in this non-geometrical fashion. So these guys are not good for trying to study flux multiplication because of the string scale, but on the other hand, it just shows us that we're going to Calabi homogeneous and Calabi construction, we may achieve lots of models of vacuum which are similar to what I'm telling you about. So this is a hint that what we are doing is not restricted to this very simple background. Okay, now that I have convinced you that I'm going to talk to you about lots of models, let me show you the very simple solution that we have. Okay. When we simplify and we just put D7, D9, D3s, we get it. Most of the conditions are satisfied, but for instance, remains this one, which is the D3 Ramon-Ramon tadpole. So we have to satisfy this condition to have a consistent model. This is the contribution coming from the D7 gauge bundle. These are the number of D3 brains, and this is the charge carried by the flux. And they have to satisfy this kind of conditions. So we can think of several solutions here. Let me just comment on a few of them. One of them would be this. With this amount of flux, we can think of introducing this Ramon-Ramon and SNS flux, which would be supersymmetric because we don't have any 0.3 component. And if we want to have, for instance, three generations, then we have to include the 0.3 component. So this will give you three generation chiral matter content. And it also see your quantification break broken by the flux component here. I'm gonna tell you right now. Here you go. This is the gauge group coming from the D7. There's the extra U1 because we have introduced this extra D9 brains. You see there's a mixed component of the D7 and D9, and this is the D3 gauge group which is symplectic. The more DT brains that we have, the different USB that we have. Okay. Okay. So as usual in this computation, if we introduce more stuff, if we introduce more cage sectors, we will get chiral matter. But an important observation is that in principle, we can take a deformation of our theory and give it back to some scalar fields, just as people used to do in theoretic in the old days, in order to get rid of lots of chiral exotic. In the present context, this is understood in terms of the brain recombination or cage bundle recombination. So we basically take this D brain, a second anti-D brain, and we make a bound stain to both, right? And we get this funny behind brain. So let me simplify by this horrible table. We have here what we had at the beginning. I am just putting everything in Batisalam language to be simple. And then when we introduce D9 and D3, we get this, all of this whole extra stuff. So we are not happy at all. But if we just take this continuous deformation, which is basically giving a F to these guys here, which are singlets under this Batisalam and singlets under some of your charges, we end up with this spectrum which is much more economical, and we only have these two guys which are, strictly speaking, not even chiral exotic, right? And, well, it would be testable to see how this could fall out of the model or not. Maybe they're not. But again, the appearance of these two guys is something model dependent, depends on which kind of inner brains you are introducing to complete your model. In this story, it may be this way, but in some other story, it will be differently. So it may come up that you don't have anything here. The only thing that I'm going to tell you is that by continuous information, we can get rid of lots of the chunk that we have. OK. So if you want to get closer and closer to where you would say this is a standard model, you can do extra Higgsing. What I'm doing here is just Higgsing and explaining in terms of deep brains. We can, for instance, from the Batisalam, try to get to the standard model by doing a joint Higgsing, as usual. Or if we're just looking at the matter content, we could try to get back to the right-handed leptons in order to break the SU2 arc, and you might be minor cells to the hypercharge. There will be, again, a deep brain recombination. You can study in this framework of deep brains what you are doing. Okay. Well, the smallest, they also have a very nice feature, which is not usual in string compactification. Let me just mention them. These are not really tied up to flux amplification, but they find them very nice, so I want to mention them briefly. So first, in this model, if we just look at it, I'll have a mu term, naturally mu term, which comes from superpotential that was already computed in the Berkeley paper. This is a Higgs 2.2 Higgs matrix. And this is two Wilson lines that you have in the different D7 brains. So mu terms are not easy to find in string commutification. They also attach to lots of problems. So this is a very nice feature that we can at least get it. Not only that, if we are not considering fluxes, background fluxes, we can compute the Yukawa couplings of this guy by doing either a field theory computation or a Walsh instanton in the mirror picture. And we can compute them analytically, which is kind of nice. What we find is that we get one heavy generation of quartz on leptons and two massive generations. Of course, this is not realistic, but it's very close to what we observe, if you wish. And just by small perturbation, we could be probably be able to get something realistic. Okay, so let's go to fluxes because I'm running out of time. What do fluxes do in this construction? Well, if we consider the n equals to zero compactification, which is by introducing some fluxes, and we have imaginary self-dual, we see that they induce soft terms in the gauge section, the D brains, right? And in principle, you can take this local MSSM-like or Batisalam-like model and try to see how these soft terms would be. As it has been done by this number of people. In particular, let me focus on some results and briefly mention this result that the last paper had, which is they just compute for the T dominance, which amounts to the ISD fluxes. They compute the sound sensor you would have in this kind of theory, in this toroidal quantification. And this is what I get. I'm not going to write the these functions, but they vanish for delta going to zero. And here the two relevant quantities I would say is delta, which is the density of gauge bundle flux or the work volume flux in the D-cell membrane and the magnetized D-cell membrane. And then another important parameter for computing these terms is the density of background flux, which is basically giving you the mass of the gravity, you know, and the scale of Susi breaking. So it's a very simple Susi breaking term pattern because you have very few parameters, right? Delta, which comes from the deep brains, and then this coming from the flux, and then upper face. What general lessons can we learn from that? Well, if you look at it, the model that we have studied, the soft time induced are flavor independent, and this is very important in order to suppress flavor change neutral currents and some of the phenomenological problems that may arise in this context. The scalar masses, in principle, they could get tachyonic, but not in this ISD flux example, or in any ISD, I would say. And then we get that our whole pattern depends on these scales, right? Basically, the one induced by the background flux and the one induced by the work volume flux or work gauge bundle. Okay, so this was about deep brains and soft Susi breaking. The other thing that I was commenting at the very beginning was about moduli. So first, Susi breaking, now moduli. What does this model has to tell us about moduli? Well, this is a general statement, and in this kind of type of decomplexification, you get rid of complex structure dilaton moduli and you stabilize them by means of the superpotential. But what we found here is that we, in n equals to zero compactification, we may be in presence of some of the source of thermal stabilization, which is usually the hard story, right? What is this extra source? Let me briefly explain to you. So basically, you don't only have a F-term potential in this length of compactification, but only have a B-term potential that is attached to the chiral fields arising here. So you have a phi telopolis turn, which is a function of the Keller moduli, and then you have your chiral fields, all of them combining a D-term potential. Of course, if I've managed to get the bevel of these guys to zero, this would be dynamically set to zero as well, and this would give me a constraint on Keller moduli. So one should be aware of this, and maybe this is another source of Keller moduli stabilization. So, of course, you would need. It would be nicer to see it in a more generic, general context, or like F theory quantifications and so on. Okay, this is the story of closed strings. What about open string moduli, which are present here as well? Well, the chiral fields, in principle, if you have a soft scalar masses from them, they are stabilized, right? Then we don't only have chiral fields, but we also have non-chiral fields in our quantification. And when we look at the spectrum, we just see that we have adjoints of SG3 of U1, and in this particular example, we have singlets of SG2. All these guys are nothing but open string moduli, which is a deformation of the position of the deep brains in the compact space. And this is either position or Wilson lines of deep brains. What has been seen is that the geometrical moduli of these membranes are stabilized, but only them. So they would not stabilize all the guys. Okay, thanks. So what is the bottom line of it? Well, we have found a very nice example of a quantification that is not perfect. Let us see which are the problems maybe in this example. So first problem, the soft terms are proportional to this gravitational mass flux density. And this is tied up to the string scale. If I try to get realistic scale for the soft terms, I will try to get T, these A. Then I will have to lower the string scale. But I cannot do that, because if I do that, then the gauge coupling constant of the MSSM would be very weak. So it would be a proper experiment. But this first problem is nothing new. This is we know very well from any trial compactification. You try to do surface breaking and just lower the string scale. It's not easy to lower the string scale in in trial compactification unless you only have D3 brains. So if we try to generalize a construction with Calabi-Yau geometries, and if we try to embed it in workflow geometries, then we would be able to create relatively small gravity mass orders quantity, which is one of the basic ingredients of the KKLT proposal, for instance. And then, presumably, we'll be able to solve the problem without any difficulty. So this is a problem, but it's just because we're doing a simple geometry. And those, for instance, some of the problems you may think of. Even if we give mass to the adjoint fields, if we are clever enough to give mass to all the non-chiral fields, these guys are going to have the same order of magnitude as the soft term, so again, TV scale. So I would have adjoints of SU3, which are of TV scale, and this would never solve the problem of displaying acetatic freedom. So what can we do? Well, we can think of D-brains that do not have any moduli to begin with, which are wrapping rigid cycles, so no moduli, so there's nothing to stabilize, so we get rid of the point from the very beginning. And indeed, you can see that it's in this paper that you can get gauge theories which are asymptotically free by considering some other backgrounds. Again, toroidal, but in principle, it could be also be in any general Calabi-Yau. I'm not going to tell you a lot about this because I'm running out of time and because there's another talk about this in this workshop, so I will refer to that. Okay, so I'm almost done. So the conclusion is that first, we can construct n equals 1 and flux vacuum by and Carroll flux vacuum by minimum magnetizing brain. We can think of n equals 0 as well, where supersymmetry is softly broken by without having any nest tadpoles. We can not only that can Carroll but also can think of embedding a very nice and minimal deep brain content with minimal current content of the MSSM and minimal Higgs extra and three generations or what you wish. And we can, in this framework, we can study many phenomenological features that are well known from field theory analysis by means of deep brain geometry. Okay, so just last slide. So what have you learned with the whole story of this analysis? It's very nice to consider source of symmetry breaking without NSNS tadpoles. That helps against the stabilities that models with NSNS tadpoles have. It would be interesting to see if you get instabilities of higher orders. We have made something which is, I would say, very simple compared to other semi-realistic examples. But nevertheless, we can achieve the flux simplification and minimal content in this local model. And when we do this construction in this simple theory example, we found a bunch of problems which can be solved, presumably, by just going to more involved geometries, which include workflows and rigid cycles. Until we achieve this task, having a split example where we can do explicit computations, then the models I have presented, they are very nice in order to study the properties of flux analysis breaking in type 2B string theory. Thank you.
Any questions? Yes?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's no explicit computation in this Kerr moduli stabilization, right? So in principle, there's nothing you can do, and it's model dependent. So I have basically no idea what things could happen. I am neglecting this all other sorts of color stabilization because it's a very important outcome from string theory. So the best thing I can do right now is just consider what I have and with the color model I induce of stems. Presumably, if you restore and get a supersymmetric vacuum, the substance will be gone. Yeah, but then, well, I don't know. Maybe you can do KKLT things and break supersymmetry again, and then maybe you will restore them.
One last question, Bobby.
I don't see any source of universality breaking in color model stabilization and quantum corrections. That all the families, I mean, not universality, sorry, flavor independence. I was not claiming universality at any rate. So universality, I'm not claiming at all. What we can see from this very simple analysis is the flavor independence, and I don't see any breaking of flavor independence. No, I have, of course, yeah. Okay, but in order to have this, you need to have a superpotential, so like you have a couplings which depend on color model one, in order to give a contribution, I would say. In this story, without fluxes, the open string superpotential doesn't depend on color model one at all.
I think maybe we should defer this to private conversation. Okay. Because we're running a little bit behind schedule. So let's thank Fernando again. And the next speaker is Per Berglund.